Good morning. Today's daf in Beitza, Lamed Vav. We are on the mission, Lamed Hey, Amid Beitza. We're starting the new parak, fifth parak of the Masechta. A lot of the Isuri, the Rabbanan that surround Yontif, and a compare and contrast between Yontif and Shabbos regarding Isuri, the Rabbanan. So let's begin the parak. Mashulim Peros, Derech Aruba B'Yontif. So one is allowed to lower fruit through his roof on Yontif. What is going on over here? So look at the first Rashi in the Mishnah. Mashulim Peros, Derech Aruba, Mishesh Lo Chitim V'Sarim Shtuchim, Al Gagoli his Yavesh. So Rashi describes over here how you were drying out. You were drying out your grains, wheat and barley up on the roof, and the whole purpose was to let it dry. And meanwhile, you're looking at the incoming storm. And so this is not good. And it's Yontif. So now what can you do? So So, assuming that you have a skylight, now the exact circumstances over here where you have a skylight and the rain is coming in, and what exactly are you doing in terms of protecting yourself from the elements, I'm not sure. Neither here nor there. The point of the Mishnah is that there's a heter chachamim, and that is that you're allowed to lower it through. Rashi says, deleka tirchi yisera. So, over here, it's not that much effort. Meaning there's no malacha being violated over here. It's just a question of tircha. And over here, the chachamim recognize the fact that you're going to suffer financial loss. And the only thing that needs to be concerned about is tircha yisera. So what the chachamim allowed is for you to drop it through the skylight. But Rashi over here is very clear. And we're going to see this throughout the Gemara, this entire sugya. So vidafka ruba. What you can do, and the only thing that you could do is just drop it through the skylight. The chola ruba milamal lamati hi betikra sagag. Because all you're doing is just letting gravity do all the work. All you're doing is moving it towards the skylight. But in terms of the actual schlepping itself, gravity is doing the work. But now to actually do so, like a lot of effort where it's not a skylight, but it's a window on the side of the house. And now you have to bring it and drop it and lower it to the window on the side of the house. And then move it through the window on the side of the house. That's already too much tircha. So there is a cap to the amount of tircha that the chachamim allowed under these circumstances. Good. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us. So the Mishnah is telling us is that for the consideration of hefsed mamon, so what the chachamim allowed is just a little bit of tircha, but not tircha yisera. Now, obviously, all these things are very difficult to really... To really put a qualifier in terms of how much shircha is okay, how much shircha is not okay. And what we're going to attempt to do over the course of today's daf is at least gain a better understanding of how much shircha the chachamim allowed for you to do this. All this being on Yontif. Avalo b'Shabbos, back to the Mishnah, but the Mishnah says, but in contradistinction to Shabbos. Shabbos, you're not allowed to do any tircha. Even though, again, there's no malacha being violated, there's no isurim being violated, but... Again, the Chachamim want our Shabbos to be tircha free, and we shouldn't be schlepping on Shabbos. So over here, this is too much schlepping. And so on Yontif, we're going to be a little bit more makel than Shabbos. And now, mechasim peros bekelim ibnei adelef v'chein kadiyayim v'kadi shemen. And let's say there's a drip in the house. And now, the drip is dripping on your kelim. Now, your kelim over here that we're discussing are kelim that are going to be ruined. They're going to be adversely affected by the rain. So the Mishnah says that what you could do is you could put a drop cloth on top of it. And the mechasim peros bekelim mibnei adelef. Sorry, let's do that again. Let's do that better. What you're doing is you're covering the peros with kelim. Okay, we'll get the point I made is coming, but I misread the Mishnah. I mistranslated the Mishnah. So we're talking now about the covering of the peros with kelim. V'chein kadyan v'kadeshem, and same thing also with wine and oil. So again, there's a drip in the house, and it happens to be the drip is dripping right into your wine or right into your oil. So once again, you're allowed to cover it up with a kli. V'nosin kli tachas adelf b'shabbos, and let's say now you just simply don't want the house to flood, or you just simply don't want to run a water in your house. So what you could do is you could put a bowl under the drip and have the bowl collect the drip. Okay. So a number of heterim that are given, huh?
You can cover on Shabbos?
You can cover on Shabbos, yeah.
Yeah. So why
did
you give
this answer first? There are two considerations over here in the Mishnah. One is the salvaging of your fruit because of the rain. So for that, tircha, a little bit of tircha is allowed, not a lot, but that's only in Yontif, not in Shabbos.
No, you could cover it.
Ah, so I'm saying cover it on the roof.
Yeah. something, a glove.
Right.
Put a top on the flute.
Okay.
Why do you have to bother dropping it?
I'm fine. I would imagine that the dropping it is even a better way to salvage it and protect it. Okay, maybe. Okay. Itmar, the Gemara starts off the discussion. We're going to be discussing a lot of the halachas that were brought down the Mishnah. But right now, at least for the first part of today's daf, a lot of discussion regarding proper wording of the Mishnah. So we know that the Mishnayos, prior to them being written down and edited by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, so the Mishnayos were committed to memory and they were set over by memory. Hence the term Torah Shabbat Peh. So over here, when you're saying over this Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Beitzah, so Mashilin Peres Derech Aruba. So Mashilin in of itself is not a word that's used that particularly often, but it's a word. So Itmar Rav Yehuda Rav Nasan Chatani Mashilin V'Chatani Mashchilin. And so what is the proper Nusach of our Mishnah? So there are different Nuschaos. Right now we're going to be introduced to two different Nuschaos. Stay tuned because there are going to be actually even more variations of what that first word of the Mishnah should be. So, but the Gemara points out that whether you say Mashilin or Mashchilin, we'll explain each of these words, happens to be that they both are valid. So Amar Marzucha Mandad Ni Mashilin Lo Mishtabish, Mandad Ni Mashchilin Lo Mishtabish. Yeah, they're both valid. So Mandad Ni Mashilin Lo Mishtabish. So if you think that the proper word in our Mishnah should be Mashilin, which is, happens to be, that's our Nosach. So Dichsiv Ki Shal Zeisecha. So the Torah describes in the brachos portion of the Tochacha, right? This is in Parshas Kisavo. So the Torah gives a description of the olives coming down. So you see that the word Yishal is a reference, it's a description of coming down. Uman didn't need mashchilin la mishtabes. Now it happens to be that if your gear says mashchilin with a ches, that's also fine. Did not a shchov aksol. So what we're doing over here is a Mishnah Becharos. The Mishnayos and Becharos go over the various blemishes of an animal, which would render it a Baal Mum. So one of the mumim that's described over there is basically the legs are dislocated, the joints are dislocated. Hashchol v'haksol. Shchol, shenishmata yerechol. So the word shchol, which is an unusual word, but the Mishnah over there describes where basically what happens is that one of the legs basically is lowered. It dropped. It dislocated. And ksol she'echam yarkasav gavo mechaver seha. And ksol is talking about where the joint is above another. But either way, the point is that the word shechol means that it dropped. Okay. So the Amar Rav Nachman. Sorry. Before we move on. So basically, now we can entertain either pshat in our Mishnah, not pshat, but either girsa in our Mishnah. Either the Mishnah is mashilin or it's mashkilin. Either one would be fine. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Man did ni mashirin lo mishabish. Man did ni mashirin lo mishabish. Man did ni menashin lo mishabish. And how many other options could there be in terms of what's the first word of our Mishnah? So unbelievably, three other options. Right? There are three other words that could be used to substitute what we have in our Mishnah. We have the word mashilin, and the Gemara goes through three other possibilities. Man did ni mashirin lo mishabish. Now, if you have the word mashirin with a resh, that'll work. So you're a nazir, so you're not allowed to cut your hair. Not only are you not allowed to cut your hair, but you can't actively do anything that's going to have your hair come out. And to rub a dirt in your hair, so your hair is going to come out, so you're not allowed to do that. Anyway, the word meshir means that your hair is going to drop out. Okay, so once again, meshir has that connotation of being lowered. Manditni mashchirin lo mishtabish. Now mashchirin, so that also worked in nana shchor v'azug shal saprim afagav shenechluku tameim. So over here, this is a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in the 13th parak of Kalim. So it describes basically either a razor or scissors, where even though they were separated. Now the scissors, I understand how they're separated, right? There are two blades connected together. So the blade, how is it separated? I'm not really sure. If I had a picture, I'm sure it'd be very helpful. But anyway, regardless, the point is that the word that's used in the Mishnah in Kalim for the razor is the shechor. Okay, and the idea over here is that what it's going to do is you're going to cut the hair with it, and right, not shave, by the way, that's prohibited with a razor. But anyway, you're going to cut hair with it, and the hair is going to drop. Okay, and man did need. Oh, the holder. Oh, okay, and those are the parts that are being detached. Okay, very good. Uman didni menashrin. And just one more option. This is the fifth option of what the right word of our Mishnah should be. So lo mishapish, that also worked because that nami shenashu kelev b'mayim, mahalch b'hem v'enechoshesh. Let's say you got caught in the rain on Shabbos and your clothing is saturated. So that's not a problem, meaning you can still continue to walk around on Shabbos even though your clothing is wet. I'm not really sure what your options are going to be, meaning enechoshesh. Meaning, I understand the concern is that you're gonna squeeze it out, and it's gonna be a violation of libun, and because you're wearing it, and because you're walking, you need not worry. Not really sure what the options would have been, but anyway, regardless, the point is that you see that the word menashrin is that it's a description of the rain falling down. Okay, so again, inami mehadanane zu leket anosha b'shakitzira. Also, another mishnah describing the leket, right? The wheat that falls down. And is now could be picked up by an ani. Good. Again, the word nosher is used over there. So not only is the word of our Mishnah, the first word of our Mishnah, the first word of the fifth parak mashilin, but four other possibilities of what it could be. And elu ve'elu, it's all, any one of those five possibilities would in fact work. Tanan mashilin peres derech aruba b'yom tov, ad kama. Okay, so. What we're going to do now for a good part of this morning is that we're going to compare and contrast our Mishnah and a Mishnah on Shabbos. Now, our Mishnah over here gives a heter on Yontif, but only on Yontif, not on Shabbos. And that is that on Yontif, what you can do is that once you're in a position where you're drying produce on the top of your rooftop, Rashi describes wheat or barley, and you see the impending rain. So what you're allowed to do on Yontif, but only on Yontif, is you can drop it through the skylight in order to protect it and salvage it, and it'll save you and it'll save you money, meaning for hefsed mamon. So this kind of tircha is allowed. Now, the Gemara says there's going to be a Mishnah on Shabbos, similar, not the same, regarding another heter in which you're allowed to clear out a room. Now, we're going to see the Mishnah in just a moment. The Mishnah over there is describing where you either have guests coming, so you have either the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim, or you need a base medrash, right? In other words, the place is filled up and with stuff, and we need room for people to learn. Okay, so what you do is you are going to clear out the room for either of those mitzvah opportunities. So the Mishnah Shabbos is describing, again, no malacha being violated. There's no hotza'ah. It's not muksa. It's just a question of tircha. And what the Mishnah over there is going to allow is that basically you can schlep. For the purposes of the mitzvah, you can go ahead and schlep and you can take out. We're going to see that Mishnah. And what we're going to be doing this morning, for a good amount of this morning, is that we're going to compare and contrast our Mishnah over here in Yontif and the Mishnah over there in Shabbos. Okay, so... It could be. It's a practical question. I happen not to know. So, but it could be. So, Tanan Mashilim Peres Derech Aruba Biyontav Ad Kama. So the Gemara says, okay. So in our Mishnah, so we were treated to a heter on Yontav. You're allowed to lower the wheat from through the skylight. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kosher Shoshaninu. Ah. So now, how much? Meaning, is there a cap of how much wheat you can lower through your skylight? So to that, Rav Yochanan says, yes, there is a cap. Now, I know in our Mishnah doesn't mention any limits of how much wheat can be lowered through the skylight, but I do have the Mishnah Shabbos, and let's compare, let's contrast. Ka'osu shishaninu, mefanem arba v'chamesh kupa shotevim v'shal tfuah, mimnei ha'orchin, mimnei bito besa medrish. So good. So the Mishnah over there says that four or five boxes can be taken out of the storage room in order to clear space for either the mitzvah of achnasas orchim, or because we need room for a base medrash. Now, the v'dilma shani hasam di'ika bitol base medrash, avahacha deleka bitol base medrash lo. So the Gemara says, okay, so there in that Mishnah, we were given a number, four or five boxes, right? And generally speaking, right, we've gone through enough Gemara, we know that when the Mishnah says something like four or five boxes, so which one is it? Is it four boxes or is it five boxes? And if I remember correctly, the Gemara over there asked a question. But regardless, the point is that a number is provided over there. So what Rav Yochanan wants to do is take that number provided over there and use it over here. So how much grain could be lowered through the skylight on Yontif? The answer is same amount, four or five boxes. To which the Gemara says, I don't know if the two Mishnahs are comparable. So number one, over there in that Mishnah in Shabbos, so you are clearing it in order for the purposes of a mitzvah. You have guests coming. You need room for a base medrash. So, Aval hacha deleka bitul base medrash lo. But over here, there's no mitzvah. Yes, there's hefsed mammon, but there's no mitzvah that you're accomplishing. Inami hasam hainu time adarba vechamish kupa sharid mishum shabbos to chamira velo asil lezazulebe. On top of that, over there in that Mishnah, so that's talking obviously on Shabbos. It's a Mishnah on Shabbos. So over there, if we allow for the removal, four or five boxes, okay, but everyone has that awareness that it's Shabbos, and no one's going to go ahead and treat Shabbos with any less respect and dignity because they understand it's Shabbos. But maybe on Yontif, we know there's a lot of heterim on Yontif. And what happens is that you give an inch and they take a yard. And if what happens now is that if we extend this kind of heter where we're allowing them to move four or five boxes on Yontif, so it could be, hey, I'm allowed to cook. I'm allowed to move. I could do everything on Yontif. So it may not be comparable. Inamil idachisa. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what, we can actually go in this direction. So hasam hainu time adalaka hefse mammon avahachadika hefse mammon afilu tovanami. Or we can argue in the following direction. In the Mishnah Shabbos, there's no hefse mammon. We're just clearing space because we need room for the guest or room for the base medrash. Over here, we're talking about hefse mammon. We're talking about a financial loss. Maybe the chachamim were even more mekel when it comes to hefse mammon. So when all said and done, as much as Rav Yochanan wanted to use the numbers of the Mishnah Shabbos in order to answer our question, how much over here, the Gemara says, I can argue in either direction. Either it should be less than four or five boxes, or I could argue there could be more than four or five boxes. But to say, like Rav Yochanan, that the Mishnayos are really on equal footing, so the Gemara really struggled with that idea. We're on the top of Lamed Vav Amid Aleph, Hasam Tanan. So we learned in a Mishnah over there, meaning we're going to do the same thing. We're going to compare and contrast our Mishnah here in Yontif and that Mishnah in Shabbos. Avalois Ha'otzar. Okay, so if you looked at that Mishnah over there in Shabbos, which we're doing right now, so you'll see that the Mishnah says that you can clear out Avalois Ha'otzar. But the Mishnah over there says, but with a limitation. Now, what does that mean, Avalois Ha'otzar? So, quite frankly, it's a little bit ambiguous. So, V'amr Shmuel, my Avalois Ha'otzar. So, Shmuel says, so let me explain to you what that means. And that is, here's what you cannot do. So you cannot clear out the house in total. Meaning, despite the fact that there's a mitzvah of achnasas orchim, there's a mitzvah of making a base medrash, but still to clear it out in total, to totally expose the floor, that you're not allowed to do. Why? Because once you expose the floor, so you're going to see that the floor is uneven. And you're going to be tempted now, especially if you have guests coming, so you're going to be tempted to level the floor. Leveling the floor is an act of binyan. Okay, so you can't expose the entire floor. That is Shmuel's understanding of that Mishnah on Shabbos. Good. So now, hachamai. So now, what about over here? Meaning that as much as we have a heter on Yontif to drop the grain through the skylight, but are we going to be working with that limitation that we just learned regarding Shabbos? And again, we're going to do the same thing. We're comparing and contrasting what's being taught over there in Shabbos and what's being taught over here in Yontif. So my, ha'asam hu b'Shabbos ha'asam mishum dechamir, so it could very well be that Shabbos is just simply more chamer. Ava Yontif dekil shapir dami. But maybe by Yontif in general is more mekel, and so therefore, over here, if you're going to be exposing the entire roof, maybe it's okay. Odil ma'asam dika bito beis medrash amar lo. Hacha deleka bito beis medrash lo kol shekein. And over there, so we're talking about, even though there's bittul beis medrash, you still can't expose the whole floor. Over here, you're not performing a mitzvah. So maybe over here, kol shekein, that you can't expose the whole floor. Okay, so in other words, again, the Gemara says, we can argue in either direction. Meaning, it's really hard to compare and contrast the two Mishnahs, as that Mishnah has its variables, and our Mishnah has its variables. V'hacha tanan. Okay, and the Gemara says, and wait one second, we're not done yet. We're going to do a little bit more of comparing and contrasting. And that is Mashilin Peros, Derech Aruba B'yamtov, V'amar Rav Nachman Loshanu Ela Boso Agag, Avab Migag L'Gaglo. So in order to compare and contrast, we're going to learn the halacha of Rav Nachman. And that is as follows. Yes, our Mishnah here in Beitza allows you to drop the grain through the skylight. That part's true. However, Rav Nachman says the skylight has to be in this roof. Meaning, if there is, let's say, a contiguous roof next door, and I don't have a skylight, but my neighbor has a skylight, and he allowed me to take my grains and schlep it over to his rooftop and drop it through his skylight, Rav Nachman says, no, that's too much tircha. The only thing that the rabbis allowed on Yontiv is only to drop it through your skylight. Okay, that's the halacha of Rav Nachman. And now, and not only is it Rav Nachman, it's a Brisa as well. Brisa taught us the same thing as well. That if I have a contiguous roof and I don't have a skylight, but my neighbor has a skylight, I can't drop it through my neighbor's skylight. Okay. So how am I? So the Gemara now wants to know, so now that we learned this halacha regarding Yontif, now let's move it over to Shabbos. Skip the parentheses. Hachu da'asam yishom Yontif to kill the asile zazule bay. Ava Shabbos to chamir v'lo asile zazule bay. Shabbidami. So maybe the when it comes to Yontif, where again there are a lot of heterim on Yontif, and once you give more heterim, so then people are going to just simply mistreat Yontif. Well, aval Shabbos to chamir v'lasa lezuzul lebe shapidami. But when it comes to Shabbos, where again Shabbos is more chamer in general, so people already have more sensitivity to Shabbos. So if I give another heter on Shabbos, that people are not going to run with it, and people won't be mezalzel Shabbos. That's one way to argue. Over here, despite the fact that we're talking about financial loss, the rabbis did not allow you to move it over to another rooftop. So over there by Shabbos, there's not even financial loss. So certainly you're not allowed to move it over to a quote-unquote another rooftop. Now, over there in Shabbos, by the way, we're not talking about rooftops. We're talking about moving it from one to another. But again, the idea is that you can't schlep too much. So hacha tanya lo shashem bechevel bechalonos velo yoridem derech sulamos. Okay, we're going to do one more round of this comparing and contrasting. Here in our Mishnah, I can drop the grain through the skylight, but that's it. Meaning, the only heter that's given by the rabbis in Yontif is that if I have a skylight here in this structure, I could drop it through the skylight. Once it requires any additional work and exertion, so then you're not allowed to do. So let's say you have a window not on the top, in other words, not a skylight, but a window on the side of the house, like we all do. So I can't drop it through the skylight, but what I would be able to do is basically lower it to the side of the house and then bring it in through the window. That's too much exertion. The rabbis did not allow that. Additionally, let's say you have a ladder. Okay, so how about lowering it by taking it and walking down the ladder? Or steps, I would imagine. That also is too much exertion. And the Chachamim said, lo. So, hasamai. So now I know that on Yontif, the heter is only to drop it through the skylight. Now I go to Shabbos, and I'm wondering, same thing by Shabbos. Shabbos is different. And you, at this point in time, we all know what's going to happen. We can argue in either direction. So, my hacha, biyam tavu da'asu deleka bitl beis mezhesh, shavah Shabbos, deika bitl beis mezhesh, shapir dami. So on Shabbos, the schlepping up and down the stairs would be okay, because again, there's a mitzvah over there in Shabbos. On the other hand, here there's financial loss and still schlepping too much is prohibited. There in Shabbos where there's no financial loss, so schlepping too much is for sure going to be prohibited. Teiku. So now in a long back and forth between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Shabbos, so the Gemara ends off these questions unresolved as a function of the fact that there just simply are too many moving parts, right? In the Mishnah and Shabbos, so you have issues of Shabbos in general, but just simply being more chamor. You have over there, you're performing a mitzvah. Over here on Yontif, you have the consideration of you're looking at financial loss. So it is difficult. In fact, we just saw the Gemara for the last 15 minutes, basically struggle trying to compare and contrast these halachas, which although they're similar to one another, but still whatever we know here in Yontif may not be translatable to that Mishnah Shabbos and vice versa. Mechasen as the Paris, we are now having a discussion regarding the covering of the fruit. So let's say now you have a drip in your house and that drip is landing right in your fruit. So what our Mishnah taught us is that what you could do on Yontif is you could take a bowl and or any kli and put it over the fruit in order to protect the fruit from the incoming drip. Amar Ula v'afilu avira delivne. So Ula now has a chiddush, a tremendous chiddush. And that is, I know that Mishnah gave us the example of fruit, but what Ula says, I wanted to give you an even bigger example. And that, of course, is bricks. Okay. In other words, right now the drip is coming into my house and it's dripping right on bricks. Okay. Now the bricks over here are delicate and sensitive. Now that's not usually the way that we would describe bricks, right? Not generally the terms that the adjectives that we would describe bricks, but let's say, I don't know, these bricks were just freshly made. They weren't hardened yet. Oh, whatever the case is. Right now, these bricks with the drips coming down on them are going to be compromised. So what Ula tells me is that on Yontif, what, and on Shabbos as well, meaning this part of the Mishnah is talking about Yontif and Shabbos. So what I can do now is I can take a kli, invert it on top of the bricks in order to protect the bricks from the drip. Okay, now, that's a big chiddush. The bricks are muksa. So that's a big chiddush. Now, the kli itself is not muksa. So what we are going to be addressing over here is the following. We touched on this all the way at the beginning of the Masechta, but here's the daf, meaning today's daf, Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, is going to be having this discussion head on. Am I allowed to move something which is non-muksa for the purposes of muksa? It's really that simple a question. Well, I know what Ula's answer is going to be, and that is, yes, you can do that. What I can do is I could take the kli, which is a non-muksa item, and move them to service a muksa item. That's the opinion of Ula. Who's on the other side of this issue? The answer is going to be Rabbi Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak says no. The heter of the Mishnah, and the only heter of the Mishnah, is that I can take a kli and invert it on top of fruit that I could eat. Meaning I can't take a non-muksa item in order to service a muksa item. The only thing I could do is take the kli in order to service fruit, which is non-muksa. Now, v'azra Rav Yitzchak letame. Now, this is Rav Yitzchak shita. Now, we heard this, we touched on this earlier in our Masechta, and the Gemara in Shabbos has pretty much a repeat of this sugya right here. Right? The Gemara in Shabbos over there in the third parak, Daf Mem Gimel. So basically, our discussion over here, same as the Gemara in Shabbos over there. Anyway, this is the, we'll say famous. You know, okay, whatever. But this is the famous sheet of Rav Yitzchak. You cannot move a non-muksa item in the service of a muksa item. Okay, so that sheet is Rav Yitzchak, and now what the Gemara is going to do is, basically, let's see. In other words, that we have now a basic machlokas between Ula and Rav Yitzchak in terms of whether or not a kli could be moved for facilitating, for the service of a muksa item. Ula says it's okay. Rav Yitzchak says it's not okay. And the Gemara now is going to litigate. Tanan, so we start with our Mishnah. Mechasen saperes bekelim. So over here, our Mishnah seems to be excellent evidence for Rabbi Yitzchak. Because what's the example that's given in our Mishnah? Peros. We all know what the Mishnah is interested in doing. It's giving us the biggest chiddush. So what are the limits of the Mishnah? The limits of the Mishnah are Peros. This seems to be an excellent raya on behalf of Rabbi Yitzchak. So Peros and Avir Deliv Nilo. Okay. So it seems to be that Rabbi Yitzchak is correct. So the Gemara deflects. Hu adin da'afil avir delivne. Well, no, the truth of the matter is that I can even take the kli, turn it over, and put it on top of bricks in order to protect the bricks. The Mishnah only mentions peros. I'll explain to you why the Mishnah told us peros. So I did the Tana Resha, Meshilim Peros, Tana Seifa, Nami, Mechasenes, Peros. Look, it's just for the symmetrical structure of the Mishnah. Since in the beginning of the Mishnah I was discussing peros, so the Mishnah wanted to use the same word. We've made this point numerous times. It bears repeating. It's a fundamental point in terms of Mishnayos. Mishnayos were committed to memory. So the more symmetrical the Mishnayos were, the easier they were to commit to memory. And sometimes even though really the Mishnah could have made a bigger chiddush, but if it fits structurally better to say over the Mishnah by heart, if it's quote unquote more poetic, okay, but I'm trying to be careful about how I'm saying it. But if it's more poetic, the Mishnah will elect to use words that are more symmetrical. Since the beginning of the Mishnah used the word Paris, good. So the end of it is also going to use Paris. Tanan v'chein kadayin v'chein kadei shemen. Again, let's go back to the Mishnah. You know, the Mishnah says, you know what else I can cover with my kli to protect it from the drip? I can cover jugs of oil and jugs of wine. So, all right, flip it around, jugs of wine, jugs of oil. Anyway, so hachi b'mayiskin and b'tivla. So in defense, so the Gemara says, in defense of Ula, you know what that oil and wine was? It was tevel. So hachi nami mistabra. In fact, it makes sense that it's talking about tevel. Tevel, of course, the Gemara is assuming right now to be muksa. Now, mind you, by the way, I say that like it's a no-brainer. Of course tevel is muksa because we're not allowed to eat tevel until you take off trumas and maisos, and you're not allowed to take off trumas and maisos on Shabbos or Yontif. So it's muksa. Now, I'll say it parenthetically because it really deserves much more attention. You know, just yesterday, We talked about Tevel is not Muksa. Okay, so that's an issue. I'm going to ignore it for now. Anyway, we're just going to assume right now that Tevel's Muksa. So the Isa Gedache Kadiyam V'Kadoshen De'atera Hatan L'Reisha Peros Kadiyam V'Kadoshen Itzrich. I'm sorry. So Hatan L'Reisha. And the Gemara says, because look, if Kadiyayim and Kadishemen are not Tevel, so then let's think about what the Mishnah is telling us. I could take a Kli in order to cover the fruit. And then I could take a Kli in order to cover jugs of wine and oil. Okay. Meaning that's redundant now. There's no Chiddush over there. Why would the Mishnah be talking about also Kadiyayim and Kadishemen? Ah, it must be because the Kadiyayim and Kadishemen are Muksa. That's the proposal of the Gemara, to which the Gemara says, I don't know about that. So the Gemara says, Kadiyayim, Kadishemen, it's Rechle. No, I could argue that there's a Chiddush in Kadiyayim, Kadishemen. So, notably, Sagadat Chamina Lafsem, Meruba Chashu Lafsem, Lo Chashashu, Kamash Malan. Look, if it drips on the fruit, so that's a lot of Hefsed. But if it's dripping on the wine or on the oil, so what's happening? So now your wine's going to get a little bit diluted. Of course, assuming that the rain is like drinkable. But your wine is going to get a little bit diluted. Your oil is going to get a little bit diluted. So that is hefse, but not as much. It's hefse muat. And one might have thought that I can't move a kli for hefse muat, for a little bit of hefse. Okay. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Tana nosin kli tachas adel fishabes. So once again, we're going to go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, here's what you're allowed to do. You see the drip coming down? So I could take a container and put it right under the drip in order to collect the drip. Oh. So, and we're assuming right now that water that's dripping through my roof is something which is not drinkable. That's what we're assuming. So the Gemara, this, and if that's true, once again, this bodes well for Ula. This is going to be difficult for Rabbi Yitzchak. So, Bedelfa Haroi. So the Gemara says, in defense of Rabbi Yitzchak, the drip that's coming down, it's drinkable water. Okay. Tashma porsim achatzel sagaba levenim b'shabbos. So, and I'm going to show you now a brisa. And the brisa says what I could do is I could take a mat, I could take some sort of drop cloth and put it on the bricks on Shabbos in order to protect them. Again, for Ula, perfect. For Rabbi Yitzchak, that's really difficult. So the Gemara says, Diyasar me binyanu dechazal mizgalayu. So again, in defense of Rabbi Yitzchak, we'll say that the bricks over there were leftovers from the construction and they actually can now be repurposed as seats. The bricks could be sat on. Otherwise, say that those bricks are not muksa. Tashma porsim achasel sagabi avanim b'shabbos. So, and meanwhile, I'm going to show you another brisa. Let's say the rain's coming down on the stones, and now you want to protect the stones. Now, I'm not really sure why you need to protect stones from rain, but regardless, the point is that you're allowed to. So now you could take a cloth or a kli and put it, invert it on top of the stones to protect the stones. Again, for Ula, perfect. According to Rabbi Yitzchak, that's really difficult. And the Gemara says, ba'avanim mikur zalos, dechazan, those aren't regular stones. Those are stones for hygiene, right? They're used to wipe oneself after they go to the bathroom. Okay, tashma. Porsim achasel sagabi kaveres debarim b'shabbos. B'chamem m'nechamem v'kshamem m'nechagashamem. You have a honeycomb, you have a beehive. Well, it's really more a honeycomb. So so what you're allowed to do is that the rain's coming down on it and you want to protect it. So you can put some sort of kli on top of it in order to protect it. In the summer because of the sun, and in the winter because of the rain. Now make sure, however, that you don't trap those bees, because the trapping of the bees is an issur of tzeda. Now, there are a lot of moving parts to this discussion over here. We're right now focusing on the fact that what I'm doing now is I'm taking something, I'm putting it on top of the honeycomb, and the honeycomb we're assuming right now is muksa. So, hasam nami dika devash. Well, the Gemara says, no, the honeycomb is not muksa. There's honey in the honeycomb. So the Gemara says, amale rav ukva mi meishon le rav ashi, atenech biyamos achama, dika devash biyamos akshami mai ikala meimar. Okay, now, everyone realizes that I'm not the beekeeper. Now, it happens to be, oddly enough, that in my school, so we have an aviary behind our school. You knew this? Okay, whatever. We have a beehive behind our school. They make honey. Okay, good. So, Okay, good. So it means all I know is now that I get to watch the bees collect the honey and bring it to the bee. I know very little, but the Gemara's assumption over here is that in the summer, so the honeycomb is going to have honey, but in the winter, like which honeycomb has honey? There is no honey in the honeycombs in the winter. Okay, good. Obviously, I'm in the position right now where I just simply right. That's obviously the working assumption of the Gemara, and if that's true, so we're back to square one. So now the honeycomb that is bereft of honey, so now it's muktzah. And now you're putting something on top of it in order to protect it on Shabbos or on Yontif. And meanwhile, now you're moving something. You're moving a non-muksa item to service a muksa item on Shabbos and Yontif. And again, for Ula, that's great. For Rabbi Yitzchak, that's really difficult. So the Gemara says, well, nitzchel la'osun shechalos. So the Gemara says, well, you know, those bees keep a couple of combs filled with honey even in the off year, right? Even in the off season, okay? And for themselves. So there's always going to be honey in the honeycombs. The Gemara describes it as shtei chalos, right? Two combs are going to be always going to have honey. So the Gemara says, osam shtei chalos, muksos hein. So the Gemara says, well, they're for the bees, they're not for you. You don't plan on eating them. So they're still muksa. So the Gemara says, hach b'maiskin and shechishav aleihem. Okay, so the Gemara says, yeah, we're talking about nukimta where, right, you realize they were for the bees, but you know what? You decided before Shabbos, you're gonna help yourself to that honey. Okay, so therefore they're not muksa. Okay, so avalochishiv alay my aser. So the Gemara says, okay, so now you're making this big chiluk between there's two honeycombs, and now there's going to be a difference whether or not you were mechashev, you were thinking of using them for yourself, or you were not. So now the Gemara says, if all this is right, so then what we could have done is we could have made a distinction in this case itself. And we didn't have to make distinctions between winter, summer. So the Gemara says, we didn't have to move on to the next part of the Braisa about make sure not to trap it. In other words, liflog v'lisne b'dida, meaning without going on to and introducing another factor, here's what we could have said in the Braisa. That if I had in mind that I was going to eat the honey from those two honeycombs, so then it's fine. Then it's not muksa. And if I did not have it in mind, then it's not fine. Meaning, and even getting on to another factor, I could have made a distinction right there in that first part of the Braisa. So the Gemara says, okay, but that doesn't bother me so much. Meaning, what the Braisa could easily be teaching us is that even if the honeycombs are not muksa, meaning the two honeycombs I had in mind that I was going to use for myself, still, when covering the beehive, make sure not to trap the bees. Okay. So, b'mayu kimta k'Rabbi Yehuda disle muksa. So the Gemara says, over here now, this entire discussion is predicated on Shitas Rav Yehuda. Right? Time and again throughout our Masechta, we reference this machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rav Yehuda subscribes to muksa. Over here, obviously, this is an entire discussion had within Shitas Rav Yehuda. So, Ema Seifa. So the Gemara says, now, here, what I would suggest that you do is you just keep reading on in the Braisa. Now, we read this part already, but could we just focus on this part? As long as you don't have intent to trap the bees. So, asan le Rabbi Shimon. So that brings us to the Shita Rabbi Shimon. And now what happens is that the Braisa is uneven, terribly uneven. Meaning the first part of the Braisa is going like Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to Muksa. And then, and by Davar Sheinu Miskaven, which is the second half of the Braisa, so now it's shifting over to Rabbi Shimon. What is happening? It's one Braisa. And it's bouncing between the Shitas of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Granted, two different issues, but still. In other words, you would expect that there's one author of the Braisa who's either going to hold the Muksa Rabbi Yehuda and hold Davar Sheinu Miskaven as Aser, or not going to hold the Muksa like Rabbi Shimon and Davar Sheinu Miskaven as Mutter. But you can't flip-flop on it. One Braisa cannot flip-flop. So the Gemara says, Aser Rabbi Shimon, Damar Davar Sheinu Miskaven Mutter. V'tizbar de Rabbi Shimon, so the Gemara says, wait one second. I really didn't even appreciate your assumption. You think the second half of the Braisa is going like Rabbi Shimon? It's not going like Rabbi Shimon. V'habai v'rava d'amir tavayim o de Rabbi Shimon b'psik reisha v'lo yamos. We know that if it's a davar sheinu miskaven, but it is inevitable, meaning it may not have been your intent, but the consequence is inevitable. That's what's called the psik reisha, right? The classic example is my kid wants to play with something, so I'm going to give him the head of a chicken. Oh, I have to cut off the head of the chicken. Yeah, but I'm not interested in shechting the chicken. I just want a plaything for my kid. Okay, but we all know, though, that once you cut off the head, the animal's going to die. Psik reisha v'lo yamut, you're going to cut off the head and it's not going to die? Of course it's going to die. So over here, so what, I didn't mean on trapping the bees. If you drop something over the beehive and it traps the bees, it's a psik reisha. Even Rabbi Shimon agrees that that's aser. So olam kula Rabbi Yehuda hivacha b'may skin dispe kaveh. So the Gemara says that the Brisa is going like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning the Brisa subscribes to Moksen, it goes like Rabbi Yehuda. Aye, so then when you're dropping something on top, you're trapping the bees, and even if it's a Davish and Miskaven, it should be Aser. We're talking about that there are egresses, meaning whatever clay you put on top, there is a way for the bees to escape and exit. The right Kave like literally means windows, right? There are holes within the covering, so the bees can escape. You're not trapping the bees. As we turn to the Amud Beis, Ema uvavashalo yaasena mitsuda. So it just simply means that you can't make a net. Meaning that the end of the Brisa just simply tells me that whatever I'm using to cover the beehive cannot totally cover the beehive, because if so, so then you're violating the Malach of Seda. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Oh, really? So now, let's wrap around what we just learned together in the Brisa. That I can drop something on top of the beehives, provided that there's an egress and that there's a way for the bees to escape. So now, is the Brisa teaching me a chiddush? Meaning at that point in time, that part now becomes obvious. Pshita. So mao de tema bemino nitzod aser, shalo bemino nitzod mutter. So kamash malan. So I might have thought that, look, as far as the Isser of Seda is concerned, so, the Isser of Seda applies to things that I normally trap. Rashi says, like chaya, like oaf. So those things would be aser. But over here, right, who's in the business of trapping bees? Right? In other words, bees are not normally trapped. And I might have thought that since bees are not normally trapped, so therefore, it'd be mutter lagamri, it'd be totally permissible to go ahead and to drop something on top of it, even though it's going to trap the bees. Why? Because bees are not normally trapped, and the Isser of Tzedar are only for animals that are normally trapped. That's what I would have thought. And Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is no, that there would be an Isser to trap even things that are not normally trapped. Granted, by the way, it may be, the Gemara doesn't flesh this point out, but it may be only an Isser Midarabana, not Midaraisa, but nevertheless, the Chiddush is that it would be Isser. Okay. Rav Ashi Amar, okay, Rav Ashi's going all the way back. Okay, what got us down this road, this long road about the honeycombs and the bees, is that the Brisa said that you can cover it in the summer because of the sun and the winter because of the rain. And the Gemara was just shocked by that comment, because the Gemara says, who's got honey in the winter season? That was the, and that brought us to the two honeycombs where you had machshava on it, et cetera, et cetera. Rav Ashi says, I want to go all the way back to that point of the Gemara. I just want to reopen that line of Gemara. And Rav Ashi says, let me offer a simple pshat. Rav Ashi amar miketani biyamos chama uviyamos gshamim bechama mimnei chama vgshamim mimnei gshamim ketani biyomanisan uviyomatishan diika chama viika gshamim viika devash. You misunderstood the Brisa. The Brisa wasn't talking about the summer and the winter. The Brisa was talking about a season that has both rain and sun. So that's called the spring. It's also called the fall. So that means to say that, and there is honey in the honeycombs during that time. That's all that was meant by the Brisa. And then the whole discussion of, well, there are two honeycombs and you had machshava, all that becomes now an unnecessary step in the discussion of the Brisa. Okay, that's the only thing that Rav Ashi would like to clear up. Okay, let's get our way to the Mishnah. V'nosin kli tachas adelf b'Shabbos. Okay, you have a drip coming into your house. So what the Mishnah allows you to do on Shabbos is to take a kli in order to collect the drip. Again, according to Ula, even if the water is not drinkable, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, only if the water is drinkable. Okay, but either way, you can go ahead and you can collect the drip. The Gemara now is going to discuss the following. So the Brisa teaches us an additional heter, which is obviously what's going to happen is that assuming that the drip doesn't stop, so your bucket's going to overflow. So what you're allowed to do is take the bucket, throw the contents of the water outside, and start again. An obvious point would be that you can't throw it on top of your grass or your or anything that grows, because that would be zarea, right? You throw it onto your driveway. Okay, back then, what did they have for driveways? Ich weiß nicht. But they, okay. Be'rechayda bay dalaf. Okay, the Gemara now describes the following episode. Abaye had a millstone, and there was a drip coming in on Shabbos, and it was ruining his millstone. Once again, I'm going to ask the question, which I really don't know the answer to. The millstone is really going to get ruined by water? The answer is obviously yes. Huh? Okay, fine. Yeah, good. You see it a lot clearer than I did. But anyway, now what Abaye wants to do is he wants to know, is there anything I could do now to protect my millstone? Now, moving the millstone on Shabbos in of itself, that's aser. The millstone is obviously a kli muksa, right? It's a kli shemlachto leiser. So you're not allowed to move the millstone. On the other hand, he wants to protect it. So also lekame de Rabba. So he goes to Rabba. Now, why Rabba doesn't suggest to put something on top of the millstone in order to protect it, as we just learned in the Mishnah, so I don't know. He's going to give a heter. Rabba's going to give a heter. Right? Okay, good. You got to say something. Okay, good. So fine. So Rabba's going to give a heter. In fact, let's see together what Rabba's heter is. So also come to Rabba, Amrle zil aile lepuryach lahasam. De lahavik graf shel reiva afke. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to take your bed and you're going to move it there into that room, and now it's going to serve as your bedroom. Now it's going to serve as your bedroom. So what do we know? We have a heter of graf shel reiva. We discussed it a couple times in our Masechta. We discussed it back in Shabbos as well. And the heter of graf shel reiva is as follows. If something in your house is muksa, but it's disgusting, and it makes your living quarters unlivable, so on Shabbos you're allowed to pick it up and you're allowed to remove it, right? Graf shel reiva literally is a toilet bowl, right? Back in the day, you had a toilet bowl, meaning not indoor plumbing, but in other words, a bowl where somebody relieved themselves in that bowl. So what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to pick it up and move it out of your house on Shabbos. That's the heter of graf shel reiva. So what Rabba tells Abaye is, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take your bed, you're going to move it into that room, and in doing so, now it's going to become your living quarters, and as such, so now the millstone is considered something which makes it unlivable, and now you can remove it based on the heter of graf shel reiva. So Yosef Abaye v'kakasha levichios and graf shel reiva lechatchila. Now, despite the fact that Abaye was given really clear instructions by his Rebbe, Rabba, in terms of what to do, so Abaye now, well, okay, he was being a little bit difficult, he was challenging. And he said, I don't love that heter. In other words, you're not allowed to put yourself in a position, lechatchila, to create a graf shel reiva. Well, if a graf shel reiva occurs, somebody makes waste in your house. So that you're allowed to pick up and you're allowed to remove. But to make a situation, graf shel reiva, lechatchila, Abaye said, you're not allowed to, I thought you were not allowed to do that. And adahachi nafal be'rechai da'abaye. And meanwhile, what happened was is that the drip continued and Abaye lost his entire millstone. Amar tesigli da'avdi adamar. So, and he said, I deserved it. Meaning I was told what to do by my Rebbe. And, you know, and I wanted to be machmer and I was being difficult and I should have listened to my Rebbe. Really that simple. Amar shmo graf shel reiva avi shel mei reglayim mutar lo'tziyam la'ashpa. So the graf shel reiva and the avi shel mei reglayim, so you're allowed to remove it. In other words, that's the heter of graf shel reiva. Okay, that part we knew already. Here comes the next part. Ukeshuhu machzira nosim bo mainu machzira. Now, what you're going to do is you want to bring it back into your house, meaning because obviously you want to use it again. But once you empty the contents out of your house, so now what is it? It's muksa, meaning it's a davar maos. It's muksa. So what's going to allow you to bring it back into your house? What allowed you to take it out of your house is the fact that it had waste inside of it. But now what's going to allow you to bring it back into your house? So what Shmuel paskins is that you can put water back in it and that it will allow you to bring it into your house. Now, it begs the question, an uncomfortable question, but I'll ask it anyway. Who's drinking that water? Oh, okay, fine. That's exactly what some of the Rishonim say. Okay, good. In other words, your animal is going to drink that water. Okay, so sover mine graf shel reiva agav mana in bifnei atzmo lo. Now the Gemara thinks for a moment that the heter of graf shel reiva, you're allowed to remove the toilet bowl, but what you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to actually pick up excrement itself. Meaning, let's say a dog, a baby, whatever the case is. Somebody dropped excrement in your house. For a moment, the Gemara is entertaining. If it were in a bowl, then I could remove it. But if it's not in a bowl, I can't remove it. For a moment, the Gemara is thinking this. And immediately the Gemara says, that's not so. Tashmada uachbarta dishtakech be aspar make. The Ravashi amalu Ravashi nakta betusisiv afkua. So there was a rat that was in the, that was found amongst the spices of Ravashi. And he was told, pick the, and the rat was found dead. Pick the rat up. Meaning the rat over here is the same as the re'i itself. It's like the excrement. Pick it up and take it out. Meaning the heter of graf shel re'i does not just allow you to remove the toilet bowl with the waste inside of it, but if necessary, to actually pick up the waste and move the waste outside as well. That's also included in the heter of graf shel re'i. Okay. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with a new Mishnah. Let's give a quick recap of today. Today we learned the first Mishnah here in the fifth parak of Yantiv, of Beitza, and we went over a limited heter of tircha that's allowed on Yantiv in order to save you a little bit of hefse mamon, but it's a really limited heter, and it's only on Yantiv, not on Shabbos, and that you're allowed to drop the grain through the skyline in order to protect it from the impending storm. That's it. Then the Mishnah one goes on to describe that you could take a kli and turn it over your fruit or your jugs of wine and oil, or you can just simply collect the drip on Shabbos and on Yantiv, so that you're allowed to do. Okay, our discussions today revolved around the following. First of all, what's the correct girsa of our Mishnah? Gemara spent some time going over five different girsos of what our Mishnah could read. Then our Gemara spends a good amount of time, the end of Lamed Hamad Beis and the first half of Lamed Vavam and Aleph, comparing and contrasting our Mishnah over here in the Mishnah Shabbos regarding taking four or five boxes out of your storage house in order to make room for either Hachnasas Orchim or Bittel Beis HaMedrash. And the question now becomes, how do I compare and contrast the two Mishnayos? The Gemara spent some time doing that. Then our big discussion today on the Amud Aleph, on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, is am I allowed to move a kli to service a muksa item? Can I take a kli and move it for a davar she'ina muchan? Some big machlokas between Ula and Rebbe Yitzchak. Ula says it's okay, and Rebbe Yitzchak says it is not acceptable. Ein kli nital ella ledavar tzara. You can only move a kli for something which is a non-muksa item on Shabbos or on Yontif. And then the litigation. And the Gemara spends a lot of time, the rest of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, going into Lamed Vav Amud Beis, litigating which position is more defensible. The Gemara remains inconclusive on this major machlokas. And finally, a couple more points for today's daf. And that is that when I put a kli down in order to collect the drip, so I then, when the bucket fills up, I can take the bucket and throw the water outside and go through that process again. And finally, the last thing that we discussed today was the heter of graf shel re'i, that one is allowed to remove something disgusting from your house on Shabbos, despite the fact that it's muksa. So number one, we heard today the heter of Rabbah, where Rabbah told Abaye that what you could do is that you could put your bed in a room, make it now your living quarters, and now the millstone that's getting dripped on, so now you can remove it from the house based on the heter of graf shel re'i. That was a chiddush of Rabbah. And then the other thing we talked about today in terms of heterim is that the graf shel re'i, so you're allowed to move it not only with the bowl, but you can actually take it itself in order to remove it.